Hello there, listeners, and welcome to our brand new four-part mini-series, Fringe Fridays, where every Friday throughout August, we'll be chatting to artists and company members who have taken shows up to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in its 72-year entirety. To kick off the series with today's episode, we are chatting to company members from Midsummer's Theatre Company, who, in 2015, took up Jarek Adams' sellout production of Two Up, Two Down, One Back to the vaults at Paradise Green. And to begin today's episode, we are chatting to the writer herself, Jarek Adams, who gives us a little bit of an introduction to the play, as well as what it was like to have one of her very own writing credits go up to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and also what it was like to work with Midsummer's Theatre Company.
My play, Two Up, Two Down, One Back, was first commissioned by the Everyman in Cheltenham for the Youth Theatre. The stimulus for writing it was that there are lots of plays for young people that have an awful lot of action in them, but I was really interested in the consequences of people's actions, especially looking at teenagers on the cusp of adulthood, dealing with the responsibility of their actions for the first time. The play itself is a sort of a puzzle where at first you don't know what's going on and neither do the characters on stage. The only clue is a box marked two up, two down, one back. So the characters have to work out where they are and why. Gradually, they realise they're in a sort of a limbo and they start to share stories of their last memories. After a little while, one of them disappears. She's brought back to life, so they realise that the two up, two down, one back, that's the one back. And then the rest of them are left trying to work out if they're going to go to heaven or to hell. None of them has done anything really bad. They've just done things that were kind of stupid, apart from one who was dying of cancer. Other characters were, one started a fire accidentally, another one, a drug experiment went wrong, and another one was in a drunken car accident, and another jumped off cliffs showing off and hit his head and drowned. So there were degrees of stupidity, degrees of guilt, but none of them really know who should go where. And at the end of the play, you never actually find out. It's left for the audience to discuss and decide. The fact that Elliot took it to Edinburgh was really good for me. As a playwright, you want your work to be seen, and especially at Edinburgh. So when he asked me if he could take it to Edinburgh with Midsummer's Theatre Company, of course, I jumped at it. I was really happy for that. It's really great to have on my CV that one of my plays has gone to Edinburgh. Also great that it got a sellout show laurel. So for me, basically, it's been a really great experience working with Elliot and with Midsummer's Theatre Company.
That was writer Jarek Adams talking a little bit about her show, Two Up, Two Down, One Back, and the experience of it being taken up to Edinburgh. And now, for our first interview of the episode, we are chatting to one of the cast members who was on the pre-Edinburgh Fringe tour and Edinburgh Fringe run, Nick Southcott, who joins me from his home in London.
Nick, I'd like to thank you for joining me for the stage plays today to talk about Two Up, Two Down, One Back. For you, being a part of the Edinburgh Fringe, this was the first year that you went up to be an actor or to be a spectator. So for you, before going up to Edinburgh, what kind of expectations did you have for the festival? And did they surpass those expectations when you finally went up?
First expectations of the festival, God. I don't really know. I'd heard about it and I mostly associated it with comedians, because I think there's a family friend who is a comedian as well, who, and it was mentioned around there, and like I was like stand up does, you know, Edinburgh does a lot of stand up, people go up there and do their shows and come down, and I, you know, people talk about it on like Mock the Week and things like that. You know, I knew other things were up there, but I didn't really quite understand the scale of it. I was mostly just associating with comedy until you started speaking to me about it properly, and I was like, okay, more things go up, this sounds exciting, you know, lots of different things. And then, you know, when we were rehearsing, I was like, great, this is gonna be cool. I've never been to Edinburgh, very excited by that. Got up there and it was just the most insane thing.
Yeah.
I think it was an awakening, and just surpassing every expectation it could possibly have been. Mm-hmm. Just with the creativity, eclecticness, the versatility, the amount of people, both audience-wise and show-wise, and it's just a great atmosphere. You go up there for the atmosphere as much as anything else.
Yeah, and you've been up recent years as well after that first year. So what was that like? And why do you feel like people return so much?
There's nothing like it. There's nothing else like it. You get to go up for a couple of days in August or a week or 2 weeks or a month, depending on, you know, your budget. And you just get to be a part of something and witness some amazingly cool things. Mm-hmm. You know, I purposely go and see things like circus skills, acrobatics, and then, like, you know, you've got your musicals, which transfer down to London, some incredible new writing. You've got comedy. You've got every possible variant, like spoken word. You've got physical theatre, mime, everything. So, you know, you want to go and see something new, then that's the best thing for it.
Yeah, I remember. So we went to go and see a couple of shows together, as we did back then, and we all kind of huddled together, like Shitface Shakespeare. And,
oh my God, yes.
And Xanadone as well. We went to go and see that together.
Yes, we did, yeah.
What for you was your highlight throughout those years, not just 2015, but throughout your whole experience at the Fringe?
Shitface Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Toxic Avenger, which I saw a couple of years ago. I think it was the last year I went up. Blush, by a play by Charlotte Josephine, which I saw, I think I saw that in 2016, year after we went.
Okay.
I always went and tried to see this one particular circus act. They were a French Canadian circus act, like an acrobatic troupe. But okay. they always put on a really, really cool show, because they had so much, like, a lot of variety within their show as well. So, and it was very like entertaining and lighthearted. I think those would probably be my highlights.
Moving on to Up to Down One Back. What was it like then being up in Edinburgh, having to do technical runs and to do a play like Two Up, Two Down, One Back at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival? Because like you say, it was something that you didn't really know about the exposure and about the real mass of audience and shows that go up there. What was your feelings like throughout those first few days of having a show in Edinburgh?
It was just excitement. Like, we got up there quite late in the evening, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then we were teching the next day. So it was going in and just, you know, here we are, here's our slot, we'll turn up, rock it, and then come back and then do a show later on. And it was just, I don't know, it just felt normal. It just felt, you know, that was, you know, we're here to do it and, you know, here to have fun and see if people enjoy it. That's, you know, the whole point. It might be something that someone really loves. Someone might really hate it. Someone might be really inspired by it. They might have, you know, they might have no opinion whatsoever on it, but they've turned up, paid their money for a ticket, and have sat down and watched something for 45 minutes, an hour, which I think that's just the thing, you know, we could have performed to absolutely anybody.
Yeah, so. I think what was so great, well, like you say, like, you're performing for 45 minutes, an hour, and you've got that audience's attention. And we were very lucky, I think, to be in a really good time slot, because we were about like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember distinctly someone saying that the reason why they were coming to see the show was because it was a thriller and there wasn't much of that going on, especially in that year, potentially, during that time. And, you know, we were very lucky to sell out almost every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, we did. I mean, there was, I'll always remember those 6 seats that we didn't sell in that final performance. It'll always bug me. But what was that feeling like going to the end of the week, where we had such a run of shows and good audiences? You know, to me, it felt like, you know, we really achieved something out of really nothing, because, you know, if we're being honest here, you know, we didn't, you know, there wasn't necessarily a massive push for the marketing and stuff for this show. Right. And we had thousands of flyers, which admittedly we never flyered this show.
Minimal amount of flyers, didn't we?
It was very small. Yeah, to have those audiences every single night. I remember that nights before we would checking the office or whatever to try and book tickets for the day after, and it was saying that it was unavailable because, you know, the show had sold out, or we were thinking it had sold out. I think it really gave us a boost for that week, don't you agree?
It was probably such a positive thing to have happened, to give us that confidence. You can take a show up to Edinburgh and it can be completely unheard of, and it can still sell to an audience that people want to come see it. And, you know, people, like, word of mouth spreads as well. Like, yeah, we were up there for what, we did 8 shows or something like that?
8 shows, yeah. 8 shows. Yeah,
so, even, you know, it's not like we were up for the whole month, where word of mouth would have probably sold a bit more, but it still would have helped in some capacity. Like, people might have been talking about it or overheard, or, you know, they'd have seen it in the booklet. And it was just, I think it was really good for us to have had that experience of not, although I guess, you know, you can also say the same for crashing. If we crashed and burned, we could have completely learned from that in a different way.
Yeah.
But having this positive experience, I think, was a really good thing for us as sort of emerging artists in this industry and for the company as well.
Yeah. I think right now, obviously, you know, the reason why we're doing these special episodes of the podcast is to really highlight fringe theatre, which I really don't believe there is much exposure apart from the festivals that only happen seasonally, you know, whether or not that's the Vault Festival, Brighton, you know, Brighton Fringe, Bar Fringe, or the Edinburgh Fringe, or, you know,
Camden Fringe. As well, yeah.
Yeah, Camden Fringe as well. You know, there are so many fringes, but I feel like that you never really get that push. It's really the true theatre fans that we go and see fringe shows. What would you say is the most important, you know, aspect of a fringe show, and why do you think it brings so much traction?
I think it's such a good platform for anyone wanting to get involved in any way in theatre, you know, because you can have someone who's wanted to write something for so long and, you know, oh, how am I going to get it put on? Submit it to a festival. You know, that can then take it off from there. You can have actors who are wanting to, you know, try their hand as a forming a company and taking something to a fringe. You know, it's I think there's such a platform for people to step up and start careers. And, you know, that's not just actors, not just writers, not just directors, but, you know, people who are involved in technical sides of things and production sides of things and marketing. Imagine, because it's putting together something that you're very much more in control of, rather than having the huge amount of people surrounding like a West End show or a national tour.
Yeah.
I think it does need more exposure for certain, and like the fringe venues, like the specific smaller theatres in and around London as well. I think they need, especially in this current climate, need as much help as, you know, the shows that have been supplying the economy for God knows how long, you know, like Les Mis and Phantom and things like that.
Yeah.
So they need as much, because if without them, that you wouldn't get certain amazing actors, certain amazing directors or writers. They would, you know, they wouldn't be able to hone their craft and try stuff out and dare and push boundaries in any other format.
Perfect. Thanks, Nick, so much for joining me today.
It's been great. It's been great to chat.
It's been great to see you virtually as well.
I feel
like we're both very busy people, and the amount of times that we're like, we should meet up and we should try and see a show together.
Luckily, I'm now less busy now that I've finished school, so hopefully this won't be such a sparse meetup. You know, hopefully we can meet up more often.
Yes, absolutely. But for now, Nick, thank you so much for joining me.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And there we go, that was that interview there with Nick Southcott. I'd like to thank Nick once again for joining me in the studio. I'm going to move straight on now, way back to 2016, where we are chatting to Tom Greedy, Shaylee Harrington and Cheryl Mock, who joined me on the 1 year on celebrations when we went to the Bar Fringe Festival shortly prior to the Edinburgh Fringe run, where we chat about what it was like to be in the show as well as the rehearsal process.
Now joined by Tom. Tom, can you tell us who you played in the show?
I played the character of Josh in the Fringe show.
And can you tell us a little bit about that character?
He was the horrible character. He was the one who got done for drink driving, basically crashed the car.
Yeah.
And that's how he ended up in this horrible situation.
Yeah. And can you tell us how you first came to hear about To Up, To Down, One Back?
I remember discussing just general theatre stuff with you, and you were telling me a bit about it. And then I got a message from you saying I'd like you to play this character in this show that I was talking to you about.
And I think what's great to say about the cast that we had is that I chose them because they suited every character, and so it made it much easier than doing a full audition process with like loads of people, because I knew what type of actors I wanted for my characters. So that's why I chose Tom to play Josh, because I feel like he really suited the role. So yeah, so that's why I chose you.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed playing the role, so.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I remember something else.
What?
Well, what you just said.
What, girls always puking up at parties?
No, what you said about someone not being able to hold their drink. My mates were joking around. We weren't going somewhere, we were on our way back from somewhere.
And so can you tell me a little bit about the rehearsals and what it was like?
The rehearsals were great, because like, there were a couple of the cast members that I didn't really know before, and so it was nice to kind of get to know them and then rehearse with them to like build up sort of the actor chemistry.
The rehearsals were so much fun, and I enjoyed working with them. I felt no pressure working with them, and yeah, it was such an amazing experience.
rehearsal process was actually quite fun, but was very focused.
Yeah.
As soon as we were like in the space, we did like a bit of a warm up, but then it was we were running and just like keep running, and then it was quite nice because I then got to experiment within the rehearsal space, and it was like a safe environment to be in where you could sort of try something different, try something new, and I really like that about the rehearsal space, because it was safe, and no matter what you did, it was just like you didn't remember that line. Say it next time, so I want to do this, or if you say it like that, I can do this, I can sort of respond in this way.
Yeah.
So it was like a really nice environment to be in, really just focused, and I really loved it.
Yeah.
Shut up, both of you! You both did stupid stuff, and so did I, but only two of us have to go down.
Oh, you're just a sick kid, so you're obviously going up.
Wait.
Going on that with the safe environment, obviously we had people in this class who you didn't know. So how was that, getting to know new people and working with new people?
At first, I was quite frightened.
Yeah.
But then, as soon as we'd done like one or two runs of it, I was just getting into it, and I felt like I'd been working with them actually for a longer time than I had. So that was quite nice, quite interesting as well. And Alice.
Yes.
Because she was like so focused.
Yeah.
It sort of rubbed off on me, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and I actually felt that was like she helped elevate me.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, fantastic. And so when it came to the actual performance day of Bath, how excited were you to perform in a city that you clearly never performed in before?
I was not nervous at all, because I felt really excited travelling and performing in a place I've never been before. And everything went smoothly on the actual performance day. My friend Sammy was even invited to be the photographer, and I felt so grateful and blessed. Yeah.
And we should just say that obviously Sammy did the photography for the show, and she did the artwork for the box, which was incredible, and it was something that she managed to do just in one rehearsal, and from the first artwork it was just incredible what she did.
I really loved going there. I loved the little walk, because I was so nervous about it, just like little walk, seeing where we were, what we were doing, that helped calm me.
Okay, cool.
And just sort of like going in the venue was just really, it was such a fun day.
Yeah.
So it was just incredible to be there.
As well as the pre-Edinburgh Fringe Tour run to Bath, Birmingham, Coventry and Gloucester with some of the cast members that you just heard there, there was a lot of marketing that went on in the show, and in this little clip we talked to Keith Wedgbury from BBC Radio Coventry and Warwickshire to chat about the Edinburgh Fringe, with myself and Alice Robertson talking about the show.
...each other and wake up with their faces almost touching.
Ah, oh, get off me.
What are you doing?
Rehearsals are going fine today. We are having a read-through of the script, and we are going to be talking about the costume and some physical movements that we could possibly put into the show.
Now, this is, of course, preparing you for the big one. You're off to Edinburgh. Just when is that?
We're going to Edinburgh from the 8th to the 15th at the Vault at Paradise Green.
So how important is that? I mean, is that a sort of an eyebrow raiser when you talk to other students?
Definitely, yeah. I think some people might undermine it because of how young we all are as a company, but it's something that I was really passionate about doing. So when it came to this year, I just wanted to go head first right into Edinburgh, because this is the first year that Midsummer's Theatre Company has started.
Companies can be made by a good performance, and sometimes it can be something as simple as the weather. It rains and everybody comes in.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what's brilliant about Two Up, Two Down, One Back, the show that we are taking, you are centred around five characters who are brought into this void after having scenarios where they've been deceased, and they all have their different stories. And what I think is brilliant is that all these stories are so common that the audience would instantly be able to click and react to the characters on stage.
So very human circumstances then they find themselves in.
Yeah, very.
You could be in a different theatre, hopefully, if your company takes off, near enough maybe every week.
Yeah, well, that is like the dream and the ambition for this company. All my life I've been brought up with theatre, and I work in a theatre as well, and just having all these different shows come in each week, it makes me thrive to tour around the country.
So I'm Alice Robertson, and I'm playing KJ in the play. I'm five characters who wake up in this sort of strange, unusual place, and they've all got a different story behind how they've ended up there, and as the play goes on you learn about the different stories and and so on. And yeah, you just get to know sort of a bit about the characters and their past lives. And,
no, it's not. It only
you know, it's really sort of.
How do you think it's going to go down with the audience?
Hopefully really well. It's a really interesting piece, I think, the idea of sort of morality and how you live your life and, you know, if you deserve to go to heaven or hell.
You've gone quiet.
I think I was ill. All I can remember is lying in a bed with tubes all around me and a machine that made a sort of clicking sound.
For the final instalment today in our Midsummer's Theatre Company celebration, we're chatting to Spike Hart, who you guys may remember from episode 4 of The Stagey Place, joining me here most recently to chat about Two Up, Two Down, One Back and what it was like to be in the show up at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Hello Spike, welcome to our special episode of The Stagey Place today, where we are celebrating 5 years since Midsummer's Theatre Company went up to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Five years, that's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. You were a part of the Two Up, Two Down, One Back pre-Edinburgh Fringe tour that went to Bath and Gloucester before then heading up to the Edinburgh Fringe for eight performances in August 2015. What was it like for you going from venue to venue on the tour and then having a weeks-long run in Edinburgh? With that also being the first time that you had ever gone to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival?
Well, with the venue-to-venue kind of jumping, Coventry, Birmingham and Bath, I think we chopped and changed cast quite a bit. It was just one of their scripts because we reworked it a few times. We could kind of, and we had the license because it was a local writer that kind of gave it to us. So, yeah, I mean, it was interesting going between Bath Fringe and Edinburgh Fringe just because of the vast difference in size of that festival. So like Bath Fringe practically non-existent. I don't even think it's a thing anymore. I'm not even sure. But then you go to Edinburgh or sort of other fringe festivals around the country. There's, you know, Volt Festival and other things in London. And I mean, I remember doing Bath and there being maybe three or four people in the audience. And being like, oh, this could be really disappointing if we go all the way up to Edinburgh and this happens.
Yeah.
But then, as you remember, we went to Edinburgh and sold out our run. And it was only 8 days, but a group of 18, 19-year-olds, that's a pretty good game for the first stab. So, yeah, I enjoyed the journey of it, and especially when you're that age and you're doing an undergrad in theatre practice or, you know, drama or performance or whatever it is, your tutors are... But they're always saying, go and make your own work, go to Fringe in summer, make the most of it. So I felt pleased that we'd taken the opportunity. Because for me, I'm not sure about you. I think we were both maybe at the end of first year.
Yes, it was first year, yeah.
No, we weren't that like intense, you know, in terms of our studies. It was kind of that fun first year that we were on. We just had the energy left, I think, after that to do it. So, yeah, it's good, really good.
And I was talking to Nick Southcott, who you were with for the Edinburgh Fringe run. I was asking him what it was like for his expectations for the Edinburgh Fringe, because having not been up before, did you have any expectations for what the Fringe was going to be like? And did your expectations surpass themselves when you actually headed up?
Yeah, it much exceeded my expectations in terms of the festival. Before that, I'd not been to festivals like just generally, like I'd never been, first of all, never been to Edinburgh, which is, you know, one of the most appealing cities in the country, and it's up there, you know, with, you know, Bath and I suppose London in terms of things to do and places to go and things to see and general historic, you know, interest. Edinburgh as a city was amazing. Then the festival played on top of that was really great, especially when young and you've got the energy to kind of walk around for the whole day and you know, see everything and then stay out half the night in various bars and stuff that are open for longer hours for the festival. Yeah, it was really amazing. Yeah, would definitely love to go again. I think I sometimes wonder like why I've not gone again.
Yeah, I've wondered that because you seem to have quite a lot of ideas, and whenever we spoke in the past, we've always said we should try and get back up, and we've always talked little bits and bobs about like one man plays, and there's always been new writing plays that we've spoken about. But we, you know, we definitely feel like that we need to head back up sometime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one sort of caveat with it is that we're at, like back then, we're at a point where we could go and spend money on a show and do that, because I wonder like why I've not gone again.
Yeah, both wondered that because you seem to have quite a lot of ideas. And whenever we spoke in the past, we've always said we should try and get back up. And we've always talked little bits and bobs about like one man plays, and there's always been new writing plays that we've spoken about. But we, you know, we definitely feel like that we need to head back up sometime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one sort of caveat with it is that we're at a, like back then we're at a point where we could go and spend money on a show and do that because of loss. When it comes, I mean, the show for us broke even in terms of show cost, but it didn't. We didn't make our accommodation. So for when I look back at it, for me that was money that I'd spent going for a holiday in Edinburgh for a week. So I justified it, but now I'm like, I have to make a career of this.
So
that's the one drawback, and that's probably why I've stopped or haven't gone recently. You know, I've collaborated in the past with playwrights and things who would prefer to tour their work in, you know, sort of smaller, you know, studio venues on a regional scale, as opposed to do a run up there and have it get kind of lost in the mayhem. And that's the other kind of thing with it. And maybe there's an advantage to the smaller sort of fringe festivals. I don't know. That's, you know, there's, you know, two sides.
Yeah. And talking about the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, what for you, looking back then, I know that it's been 5 years on since we've been, but what for you was the highlight of being up at the Fringe?
It's difficult. I quite enjoyed having like a performer's lanyard. I know that's really vain, but yeah, having that,
I love it. Don't worry.
Yeah, getting a discount on the bevs, and I know that's really like not what I should be. I mean, obviously there's crazy shows as well, but I think most of all, and you've just mentioned it, I enjoyed hanging around with Nick because he was just really fun. And I actually, you know, I should actually try and catch up with him at some point. I just remember having great banter with him both as we were going around seeing stuff and watching great work, and as well doing our own thing in Paradise Green. Yeah, Nick and Tom as well. But yeah, it was just, I just enjoy the camaraderie you get with small theatre companies. It's just really fun. And Nick particularly was, you know, so fun, and you know that he's a, you know, fun person to be around.
Brilliant. And looking at Fringe Theatre itself, Ben, what do you think is so important to Fringe Theatre, and why do you think it, you know the festival thrives every year? I mean, not just Edinburgh, but you know, you've got Bath, Brighton, Camden, you know, all of them. Like, why do you think Fringe Theatre thrives so much in our industry?
I think again it's down to it being a launch pad. Like, it's not overly difficult for a group of undergrads to go, let's do a show and get on a train and get stuck in Wolverhampton for an hour, and then in Carlisle for half an hour in Edinburgh in the early hours of the morning, ready for a tech the next day. It's just a good launch pad, and so many sort of, you know, great people have made acts and shows have made their start up there. I think I'm trying to think recently of what's come out of Fringe. Was six star Fringe. Not my cup of tea, controversially, but it's done amazingly well. And again, that's a group of young people said, let's write and do a show, and they've done it. And it's having, well, it's had success at Fringe and then, you know, London, and now on tour before, you know, this whole pandemic thing. The thing with that is it's like a really good educational show, as well as sort of tapping into, you know, relevant current topics, which is also important. So yeah, like for shows like that, and as well for individuals like comedians and stuff, it's a great place to begin. So yeah, I think that's what's so great about it, is it's accessible. There we go. Apart from the train, if you live down in South.
Like, thanks so much for joining me just to chat a little bit about the Edinburgh Fringe Festival being involved in this podcast as well. I know that you've been on before, you were on earlier on this whole series, so it's good to see you back again and to chat with you again. And hopefully, I know that you've just moved for a new job, but hopefully I'll see you again in person soon and we'll talk at the theatre.
Yeah, amazing.
Perfect. Thanks, Spike.
Cheers.
And there we go, that was Spike Hart there talking about his journey with Midsummer's Theatre Company and Two Up, Two Down, One back in August 2015. And that also rounds us off for the end of today's episode. So I'd like to thank Jarek Adams, Nick Southcott, Tom Greedy, Shelley Harrington, Cheryl Mock, Alice Robertson, Keith Wedgery, and finally Spike Hart for all taking part in today's episode and looking back on the celebration that was Midsummer's Theatre Company heading up to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2015. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today and want to know more, you can follow us on Instagram at The Stagey Place, where we look at all the episodes as well as some exclusive content from each of our guests, as well as takeovers from our Series 1 guests who all appeared back in April and May this year. I've been Elliot, and until next time, I hope you're staying safe and I look forward to hear from you soon.